next week. Actually, next week.
Next week is a special episode with Rick Mitchell talking about movie music documentary films.
Great.
So that'll be fun.
We'll
discuss Once We're Brothers and various other new documentaries coming out. There's one on The Doors, Ray Manzarek, and so forth. So that's next week on Film and 11. This has been This Week on Film and 11 with Hallie and Mona and myself talking about Looper movies.
Yes, and I should say almost all of the ones we've been talking about are available to stream in some way.
Yeah, they're all old enough now.
And if you're not careful, you're going to hear this episode in about
again.
In a minute.
Until we get it right.
And Sonny and Cher will wake you up every morning.
We should have programmed that in. Okay.
I got you, babe.
Yep. There we go.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Bye. Thanks. And you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 11 a.m. And 11 a.m. on a Friday means that what's coming up next is Pacific Underground, your show for Asian and Pacific Islander American issues, both local and national. We'll be taking some calls from our Asian and Pacific Islander identifying callers, and it's going to be hosted by me today because, well, hey, I'm at the mic. Why not? And me is Jenna. Hope you're doing okay. So stay tuned for that. Pacific Underground is next. But first, this from KBOO.
Hello. We are Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio. Our show is on hiatus until May, and until then, we are looking for new members to join the collective. Pacific Underground is the only show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Pacific Northwest. There is no experience necessary to join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kboo.org, all one word. Or message us on Instagram at @PACUnderground.
Attention, KBOO volunteers. This is an all-hands-on-deck announcement. As of Friday, March 13th at 10 p.m., our station is closed to all volunteer activities. Only staff will be allowed in the building. If you're a program host, we need your help remotely. Even though we're closing the front door for 30 days to reduce the spread of infection, our airwaves still need you. Please pre-record your show and submit your audio to your director. If you have any questions or need assistance, please email staff. Information about KBOO's response to the COVID-19 pandemic is available on our website at kboo.fm/COVID-19. Thank you for helping to keep our airwaves up to date and engaging for our listeners who need your voice now more than ever. Together, we'll be able to get through this. Oh yeah, and don't forget to wash your hands. And that's my cue to say you are listening to Pacific Underground here on KBOO Community Radio, KBOO Portland. and Pacific Underground. If you're just tuning in for the first time, Pacific Underground is the show for Asian and Pacific Islander and Asian and Pacific Islander Americans to talk about what's important to them. We feature interviews, we feature discussions, we feature, well, whatever we want. Because you know what? Hey, it's time to talk about community. And so joining me on the line this morning real quick is Pacific Underground producer and host Sarah Onitsuka. Sarah, how you doing?
Hey, Jenna. You know, I'm doing pretty good, mostly staying inside, staying at my own house. So,
yeah, how long have you been inside for?
Well, I work at a restaurant. And so I was essentially working up until the restaurant closures were announced. So I stopped working on Tuesday, and I've essentially, yeah, been home ever since.
That's a bummer. I mean, like, yeah, we're all inside because, you know, it's like we're doing the social distancing, but that's, like, devastating for you to not have to be able to go to work.
Yeah, it's luckily I have enough money saved up because I'm living at home, and so with my mom, and so I'm just saving up for grad school right now, and so I might be cutting a little bit into that money, but I also like don't even know whether this is gonna, you know, kind of be contained by the fall. So I'm just kind of, I think like everybody else, just sort of taking it day by day, week by week, you know.
Yeah, that'll be. Have you heard from the school that you're going to in the fall yet, or is it sort of, it's too far out, and they're sort of hoping that everything will sort of clear up by then?
Yeah, I'm not sure. They haven't said anything about the fall yet. I know that they're definitely, you know, like all other colleges and universities in the U.S., they've switched to remote learning for now, and I think it's just too far out to tell whether it's going to be impacted in the fall as well.
So what have you been doing to keep yourself busy while you're stuck inside in the quarantine?
You know, honestly, in some ways it's been nice to be able to slow down. I think I'm trying to stay connected to folks in as many ways as I possibly can. I think, you know, I'm learning a lot from disability justice activists who have been doing this for, you know, years and years.
Mm-hmm.
On how to be more creative in the ways that you connect and organize with people. So, yeah, I'm definitely, I think I'm the type of person who really likes to be able to meet up with people in person. And so this is a little rough for me, but I think that it's a lot of good lessons that I'm learning, and it's sort of like expanding the ways that I think about kind of being with people. So
what is that
organizing?
Yeah, what does that look like? Organizing remotely, and what are some of the things that you've learned during this time about how we do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm still learning for sure. It kind of goes up and down. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I feel connected, and other times I'm like, oh my god, there's nobody, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody's in my life. I've been doing a lot of obviously a lot of messaging back and forth, a lot of video calls as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
video calls. I'm doing so many video calls with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people who I usually just like will send a quick text to. It's like,
yeah,
now let's do the video call and just see what I've never been on Zoom so much in my life either. It's been,
yeah.
I'm like, oh wow, this. And you know what's interesting for me? It's like you can tell because of all the video conferencing, it's like I'm seeing a lot of people's faces, but it's not the same as seeing people in person, you know, like you're saying. It's just there's something more disconnected about it. It's definitely better than nothing for me, but it's like, you know, I don't know. There's just, you can feel the distance, and you just want to be able, and like even when you see people in public, you know, or like in, when I saw my sister the other day.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh hey, and you don't do the normal thing you do, like you might hug or whatever, and you know, it's like hi, and you're still all standing 6 feet apart from one another, and
yeah,
even though you know it's like for good reasons, it's not normal feeling at this point still.
It definitely isn't for me either. I've noticed even, you know, like when I go out for walks, that's essentially the extent to which I leave my house. You know, just taking a walk around the neighborhood so I can yeah. get like some fresh air.
Yeah.
But even when I go on walks, I feel like we're all just sort of trying to dodge each other.
I know.
Like whenever I see another person on the street. And that doesn't feel good either, you know?
I know. Like, I don't know. I had that exact experience the other day. I was walking and I noticed somebody, like, you know, coming up on the same side of the street as me. And then, like, I noticed that they crossed the street. So I was like, okay, I don't have to cross the street. But then the next time I crossed the street, and then I scared someone because he was looking at his phone was totally not paying attention. And I kind of wasn't paying attention. I think I just sort of like popped up by surprise, and he like looked up and he literally like jumped over like four feet. He just was like, ah! You know, and he didn't look like angry or anything, and we just sort of like smiled and laughed about, you know, the situation. But it was just like, wow, it's interesting to see people participating in it. You know, it feels like I'm wondering how many people are motivated by the idea of protecting others versus themselves, or, you know, where that balance is. Because I, you know, when that guy smiled, it's like, oh, you're not totally afraid of me. And it felt like a small communal moment of like, oh, we all understand what's happening. We're all kind of in this together and trying to help one another. Or at least that's how I interpret it deeply in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think for most people it's coming from that motivation, like you were saying, to temporarily kind of see other people as threats in a way in order to protect the broader community.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange thing.
It is.
Because I feel like there's this part of me that just feels like I'm treating people badly by attempting to protect, you know, a herd, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, I'm definitely wrestling with those types of feelings.
And something I know that, like, I'm wrestling with a bit is trying to be respectful of where everyone is at, because people have such different levels of comfort and feelings of safety in terms of this whole situation. Like, it's such a spectrum. It really reminds me, like, you know, of any sort of like political issue where people are really strongly divided sometimes on how serious they think this is. Some people think it's, you know, just, oh, it's going to blow over in a week. Some people are like, oh my gosh, the apocalypse is coming, you know. And so I've been wrestling with it because some people who don't feel the same way I do about social distancing, because I'm all about it, other people are way more comfortable still being close. And then in that way of like, I don't want to feel disrespectful, but I literally have been like running away from people that get near me, you know. Like, and not like strangers, but like, yeah, I still have to come into work. Obviously I'm here at KBOO, and, you know, we're still having to see each other a little bit when we have those moments of when stuff has to come into the station for what they need to do. And if they start to, you know, get near me, I notice we both kind of like, you know, backing up, but some people are more comfortable than I am. And that happens in the grocery store too. I'm really, you know, the times you do go, it's like some people are obviously way comfortable with still being close to each other, and you see other people trying to run. It feels like a weird game, and at the same time, it's stressful when other people don't have the same boundaries that you do, and you're like trying to maintain those. I don't know. That's a lot of what I've been thinking about in the last couple of days, of just like, wow, we're all in different places.
Mm-hmm. It is really stressful. I, in general, have just been avoiding, you know, the busiest parts of my neighborhood for that reason, is because I don't really know you know how each person is going to be. Like, I just had somebody yesterday just like come up right behind me. I'm like, 6 feet, 6 feet, you know. I mean, I think it also has to do with the folks who we have in our lives too. Whether and like how immediate it feels. I think
that is so true. Because I noticed that every once in a while, I've been like trying to remind people. Like, I sent out like a thing to all the KBOO volunteers a couple weeks ago when all this, you know, reporting started about how it's coming here. And there were definitely different feelings at that point. And just telling people, like, you know, try to be respectful of other people. You know, other people have different worries than you do that maybe you don't understand about. And in talking to people, not just like here at KBOO, but just out in life, but remotely, it's been interesting to see that people who, and I'm totally generalizing here, but like people who, as you're saying, like have somebody in their life, or maybe it's themselves, you know, that they are trying to protect, there's a more feeling of like immediacy and like,
yeah,
and then just like the gravity of the situation. And yeah, I mean, I interact with a lot of people who are high risk, like generally in life, like not right now, because everybody who I know is high risk, you know, it tends to be like quarantining themselves, but it just like has made me really hyper aware of trying to distance. And because I keep thinking, well, if those people are in my life, like who's in your life, person who I don't know, you know, or person who I'm just vaguely interacting with at the grocery store, like I want to assume that, you know, you have people that you're trying to protect too. And just it's stressful.
Yeah
I just feel really like privileged that I'm assuming I'm not a high risk person. At the same time, I feel like a huge responsibility towards others. I know that really, really motivates me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure that I'm not a high risk person. But even still, like there are, if you look at sort of the demographics in hospitals, you know, around the world, there are still a number of 20 somethings who end up in the hospital.
Who get
hospitalized, and like, I don't want, I also don't want that, even if I, you know, am not at the most risk of dying from this, like, I also want to prevent, you know, kind of being a part of.
If you're just tuning in, I got to do a quick ID. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Pacific Underground here on KBOO Community Radio. We are, me and Sarah, this is Jenna, by the way, me and Sarah Onitsuka are just sort of talking about what's going on in life. I'm here in studio, but Sarah is, of course, having to call in remotely. And Sarah and I are just talking, what were we just talking about? So many things. There's so many, about how we're interacting with people. I think that's the biggest topic of the day. Okay, Sarah, go on.
Yeah, I don't want to have to contribute to, you know, if I were to be hospitalized, mm-hmm. the number of people who are in hospitals, and, you know, the fact that hospitals are really going to be over capacity very soon. That's one of my worries as well. So, like, even for myself, I'm just trying to not have to be a part of that. But yeah, there also are, you know, especially for folks who are living with people who are immunocompromised, or, you know, elderly or otherwise at risk.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what brings this issue into its immediacy for a lot of people. Because I know there's younger folks who aren't as concerned about this.
Yeah, and what I found really interesting, speaking of Asians, Daniel Dae Kim, I don't know if mm-hmm. you saw his social media post. I think he put it up yesterday.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, the actor Daniel Dae Kim put up this post where on Instagram he made a video and said, you know, I've been diagnosed positive, and like he talked about how he had like symptoms and, you know, that people need to take it seriously because he's of the, I guess he's a millennial. Yeah, I think we're around like the same age-ish. That he's a millennial, and he was like, you know, younger people need to take this seriously, like just because you're healthy. And, you know, he talked about how the symptoms felt, and even though that he's okay, that it wasn't like a nice experience. And so I think that's important for people to, like, people like him, you know, people who have a platform that people pay attention to talk about it, and like to tell people to be aware and not just like arrogant. Because when I see the pictures of the beach in Florida,
oh man,
oh dude, is spring break that important? I guess it is for some people. For me, I wouldn't have gone to the beach, but yeah, it just, I'm like, what? Okay, young folks, come on. And I'm not sure if I'm included in that, but I'm looking at a lot of millennials who are definitely in my generation. I'm just like, people stop. Okay. Oh, go on.
What was that?
Yeah, go on, Sarah.
So I was going to say that I'm sort of on the millennial Gen Z cusp.
Yeah.
And so it's, yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm sure somewhere deep down, a lot of those people are scared, but I don't know if it's a coping thing or what, or just, you know, plain immaturity or, you know, irresponsibility.
Or when the government pushes confusing messaging from the very beginning and calls
it a hoax. Yeah,
that's
not very helpful either. But I really do think that we all have a responsibility to social distance and do what we really, like, everything that we can for this, because it's not just going to go away, especially if we don't, you know, take the measures that we need to.
Well, Sarah, I'm going to go to a music break. And, I just want to, like, thank you for calling in today and, like, letting us know where you're at. And I want to encourage other people to call in if you are an Asian or Pacific Islander, Asian Pacific Islander American who is having some thoughts about what's going on right now. Give us a call at 503-231-8187. Again, that's 503-231-8187. AAPI folks and API folks, where are you at? How are you doing? All I know is on the social media, people are all over the place where they're at these days. So we're going to go to some music. What am I going to queue up here? Let's see. I got some music from Aisha Fukushima, a great musician and activist, with a song that I thought of hers today. It's called Missing You. So we'll be right back with a different call. We're actually going to check in with a semi-frequent guest of the show, Albert Nguyen, to see how all of this is affecting him and his life. So thank you, Sarah, very much, Sarah Onitsuka, for calling in.
Thank you. Stay safe, everyone.
Yeah, you too.
I've been missing you, missing you. Did you know that I still care? I've been trying to, learning to follow through, even when you're not there. I want you to know that it hurts sometimes. I want you to know that I'm still alright. I've been missing you, missing you. Yes, it's true, incredible, so indelible. Wanna hold you close, will not let go. Centrifugal, centrifugal. Let us rise, never fall. No more burden. Talking, we will fly from this, from all this.
Missing You by the artist Aisha Fukushima. Yeah, when I thought of what music should I play today, I thought of that one pretty quick. So I know a lot of people are missing each other, but we'll get through this, that sort of thing. You are tuned in to Pacific Underground here on KBOO Community Radio, the show where we talk about Asian and Asian American and Pacific Islander and Pacific Islander American issues. As you know, our station is in partial shutdown, so none of our volunteers are here in station, but we got people on the phone. I am here in station. I'm Jenny Yokoyama, one of your interim station co-managers. And I've actually invited back, I'm going to put up there, there's Albert. Albert Nguyen. Albert, are you there?
Hi, Jenna.
Hi. So, Albert, if you are a fan of the show, you know that Albert has been interviewed on Pacific Underground a few times. And as a disclaimer, Albert is an actual personal friend of mine. We've been friends for over a decade, and we've been checking in with each other quite a bit over, you know, the last week, texting and, oh my gosh, what's happening? And Albert, I'm just wondering, how are you doing these days?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard, and I'm trying to just be okay, but I want to go outside. I don't know what the right thing to do is anymore.
Well, you just need to be like me. We were just talking the last segment with Sarah, where you go outside and then you end up doing this thing where you avoid, by doing the social distancing, by constantly crossing the street every time you see other people. So that's one way to social distance, but I don't know about you. My thought right now about going outside, because I definitely have this thought, is going outside is great because I want the sunshine and the fresh air, but I also have a slight feeling of fear right now, since so many Asians have been reporting like hate crimes and stuff on them because of the virus. You know, so there's many layers to going outside. What are your sort of thoughts?
Right, exactly. Like, I'm not going to do anything stupid, like go to the park with a bunch of people and get drunk or whatever. But I just want to see the sun, get some fresh air. But also, I don't want to be attacked. And I don't even think it's fear as anger. That I'm so sad and tired about hearing about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it underscores the otherness about how, like, you know, I was born in Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll never be American the way that people think that Americans, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, we're used to racist stuff happening against us from white people, but it especially hurts us, other people of color.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, you want solidarity, but the reality is that when people say the POC community, I'm like, well,
right.
That's really generalizing, kind of like even saying like Asian and like Pacific Islander, you know, it's like encompassing of so many people and so many cultures that, you know, I've talked about this on Pacific Underground before, that like just because we're all from the same region doesn't mean that our regions weren't warring historically for like hundreds of years, you know, and just because we come to this country doesn't mean that there's not tensions, and then there's tensions outside of, you know, the quote unquote races. And everyone is so stressed out right now that's something I definitely worry about, is just the collective trauma and the collective stress everyone is going through, no matter, you know, what your skin color is, no matter what your age, no matter how you identify in life, there's just this collective global panic like that's going on, at least here in like the United States, with many, many people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh gosh, those tensions, you know, I mean, you know, where you live, I don't know, you can mention where you live if you want to, but the area in which you live, there's, you know, we were recently, you and I, off air, were talking about like tensions that have been happening in that area between the Asian community and the Black community, which is, you know, a historical tension that has always happened in this country. And like, it's an agonizing thing when you just want everyone to be able to get along, but it's so much more complicated than that.
Right. One hopeful thing I saw yesterday was, you know, David Chang has his show on Netflix, Ugly Delicious, and season two is out now, and I'm watching it. And for when, you know, we can actually go outside again, it was really nice him featuring so many different people of color talking about food and how no matter, you know, what you think of anybody or whatever, everyone's food is delicious, right? And so if we can all just eat everyone's food, you're going to appreciate, you know, where they come from and everything. And so I'm excited that once we're okay again, we're going to go eat delicious food, everybody's delicious food, and we're going to feel better.
Ooh, I like that. Some motivation, like staying aside and looking forward to what you can do next.
Yeah. And then especially like, you know, there's so many people that will need support. There's, you know, like this, the effects are economic way beyond what we're even prepared for. So like, hopefully whoever can, you know, once we can leave our homes again, once we can, supporting small businesses, supporting, you know, restaurants that you want to, is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I know here in Portland, there is a lot that, well, the economic factor really started to hit the Asian restaurants, you know, because of the like xenophobia and the fear of eating Chinese food would give you like coronavirus. I don't know how that one works. I'm like, what, people? And I know that a couple Korean restaurants were vandalized, and it's just like, so unnecessary, you know, people's anger is so displaced, you know. But it's just like, I've been wondering, I'm like, oh no, like, all, especially in Portland, we have so few Asian restaurants that are owned by Asian people. I'm just like, please make it through this, you know. It would just be devastating to see all these small businesses closed.
I know it's a lot to ask, but I wish racists would be smarter, you know. Like, if you're going to be racist, choose the one, I guess, instead of just like, like in France, a Japanese restaurant was vandalized, but like, well, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, you know, we're all the same to people, yeah, who, you, oh, know.
Since Portland has so many white-owned and operated ethnic restaurants, are those being vandalized too?
Well, this is what I wondered when people were like, oh, don't eat Chinese food because you might get the coronavirus. It was like, well, are the Italian restaurants being boycotted? And I've not heard anything. I mean, maybe because, you know, the whiteness is quick to turn on the Italians when it's convenient for them. So it'd be interesting to see. Just saying. But at least I'm going to put it out there that something that up here, we have that organization called APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. And as soon as the restaurant started to get that economic hit, they created something called the Jade District COVID Relief Fund, where they're trying to, you know, give like small grants to restaurants. And so hopefully that can help a little bit. And I'm really hoping the government helps out. But I just want to ask you about your own economic situation a little bit, like, because the first time you were ever on Pacific Underground, you were interviewed and we were talking about your art, just in case people didn't know. By the way, you're listening to Pacific Underground here on KBOO Community Radio. I'm your host for today, Jenny Okuyama, and I am speaking with artist and illustrator Albert Nguyen. So Albert, how has all of this affected you as an artist?
It's really hard because a lot of my income comes from going to comic conventions and selling prints and doing commissions for people on the spot, and all travel's gone. So my season usually starts, you know, like February, March, and it was gone, it was done. So everything got canceled. And we don't know when it's going to come back. And if and when it does, people will be out of work and they won't have expendable income to, you know, go have fun at a comic convention. So it's super uncertain. It's super scary. I don't know. We're just trying to survive day by day at this point.
Have you talked to other artists and, you know, that make their living off of cons and how they're doing?
Yeah, everyone's just really scared right now. The luckiest of us have had a little bit of success reaching out online, and that's one of my, you know, points of hope, is that there have been really kind people that even when they're scared and they're uncertain, they're still giving, you know, their hard-earned money to get some art from us, and it means so much right now.
I'm going to do a little plug for you because I know you're too humble to do it yourself. If anybody wants to check out Albert's art, you can find it online on his website at newwen.com. That's K-N-E-W-W-H-E-N, newwen. And you can see all of Albert's amazing Star Wars art. I'm a big fan of the Star Wars art. Well, I'm glad to hear that your fans, you know, are supporting you, and because, yeah, all the artists are just struggling right now. Are you reaching out to any resources yet that are helping artists, or is it not come to that for you yet?
I'm okay-ish right now, but I know I will need to later. And I think a lot of the resources are just starting up right now, so there's not a ton of information yet.
What do you think is going to happen with Comic-Con in July? I know that's always a big one for all comic artists, and I know that you are an artist that, you know, goes every single year. Have you heard at all from San Diego Comic-Con?
They're going to try, but we'll see. It is, you know, 5 months or, yeah, wait, or 4 months? 4 months away. So there's some optimism that it could still happen, but we'll see, you know.
Okay, so let's say it still has happened. Here, let's have a little moment of levity in all this. Can you imagine what the cosplays will be? Because people will still be wanting to, like, face mask. And I'm, like, realizing, like, oh, my gosh, everybody who always does, like, all the, like, ninja costumes and, like, like the Shredder costume. Like, oh, wow, we just, like, integrate the face mask. And I bet that will become a really popular thing. Oh, you know what we could cosplay as? Eon Flux. Remember the movie Eon Flux? Not the cartoon, but in the movie Eon Flux, people were, like, walking around with the, like, cloth face mask. I totally remember seeing that movie when it came out. Were we, like, in high school when that came out? Maybe college? A long time ago? And I remember that people had, like, face masks that were, like, designer and, like, matched their outfits. And just being like, oh, that's crazy in the future. I was like, oh. And as soon as I started seeing people with the cloth face masks, I was like, oh, we're in Eon Flux time.
You know what?
Oh, no.
It's funny how much of sci-fi just kind of takes from Asia. Like, face masks are kind of, like, the idea of face masks, it's very Asian normal, right?
Yeah.
But now it's seeping into sci-fi and fantasy and stuff like that. And then in kids' exposure to anime and stuff. And then some science fiction movies now, when they want to be in the future, they just film it in Asia and say, this is what LA is going to look like.
That's not too bad. I personally, I like the Asia, so... There you go. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Albert, can you stay on the line with us a little bit longer?
Sure.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick music break, and we will be right back with artist Albert Nguyen, and we'll be talking about Asian and Pacific Islander-y things, mainly Asian things right now, at least, because that's, well, that's how Albert and I both identify. So we'll be back in just a minute. Local Portland musician and artist and all around amazing, just wow, does all the things, and really appreciate everything that he does for this city and musicians in this city, Joe Kai with Bam Bam's Lullaby. a frequent guest of the show, Joe Kai. We hope you're doing good out there. I think you played that on our show live. So thank you, Joe. I know that Joe had some concerts recently having to be postponed because of what's going on. I know everybody is. I know I had stuff that I was doing. So I attempt to be an artist performer myself, and all that got canceled. And so I've had gigs canceled, and just like everybody else, you know, but it's been really interesting to see how people are moving things online. I notice a lot of musicians are doing stuff online where they're doing free concerts. I had my friends doing a live streaming sing-along. It was pretty interesting. And anyhow, so you're tuned in Pacific Underground. I'm Jenny Yokoyama, and on the line still with me is artist and illustrator Albert Nguyen, calling us all the way from outside of Oregon, all the way from the very far away California. Albert, how are you?
I'm okay. Do you want to talk about more nerdy Asian stuff?
Yeah, because that's what it's all about. It's always about nerdy Asian things.
So we were talking before about how in the future everything just looks like Hong Kong or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I'm torn because, like, sci-fi will take like Asian-y stuff and environment, but then they won't play Asian people in it. So people will be in Asia, but there'll be no Asian people. Or like in Blade Runner 2049, like everything, it borrows so heavily from every like neon lit city in Asia. And then there's one Asian person in the entire movie, and he's doing someone's nails, and like that's it. That's what we get.
Well, I'll say maybe like, you know, the thing, you know, the future being like Asian, as I'm just like thinking about how that relates to the COVID-19 situation that we're in right now. It just makes me think, well, you know, a lot of people are looking to Asia right now as the example to be following, as we're looking at like South Korea and Vietnam. Like we were just talking about this the other day off air. Albert, what's going on with Vietnam and COVID-19?
They got it figured out, you know. They even people who are on lockdown, they got free food delivered to them. And like, why can't we do that here?
Is it because the size of our country is that? I know it has a lot to do, obviously, with the response of or lack of response from our federal government. I'm curious to know. Do you think that, you know, Vietnam is a much smaller country than the United States? Like it. Is what they did there, do you think that's possible in such a large country?
I don't know. I think it's more about community, right? I think we've really lost our sense of community, especially in America.
Yeah, so true.
Like even growing up, I remember knowing all my neighbors, and we have block parties, and like all the kids knew each other. Like, I don't remember last time I saw that anywhere in any neighborhood.
Well, here's the question. Maybe this situation, because it's interesting to see how people are coming together right now. I hope that, you know, we're talking a little earlier about tension. I'm hoping that it also has people coming together. It's been amazing. Like, I go to a Buddhist temple here in town, and how many people have just reached out and said, like, hey, are there, you know, people like within, you know, the congregation that need groceries delivered because they're high risk and they can't go out? And, you know, and it's just like people. You know, people aren't necessarily waiting for people to ask for help. They're just saying, I'm here, I'm available. And I'm hoping that like somehow, even though we all have to be distant, we're all creating a feeling of community. I keep my fingers crossed.
Maybe. Yeah, I hope so. I heard that the virus isn't making people crazy. It's showing everyone the true colors. And I think that's true, and it's nice that all the kind people are so kind, but I think they've always been that way, and I hope that we can recognize them when there's not a crisis, you know?
Yeah, it is true. The people that I see, at least through the social medias and stuff, who are doing the outreach are the people who were doing outreach before. But hopefully it motivates other people to help their neighbors from a distance.
Yeah, hopefully it's inspiring. Hopefully it's inspiring to create more kind people or push people kinder. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I'll admit that like I keep trying to have like a positive attitude, you know, but granted, yeah. Here in the United States we're only like a couple weeks in or whatever. But I am really stressed out.
Yeah.
I mean, my job is stressful because I'm, part of the skeleton crew that's helping to run this radio station. But it was funny. I was talking to the fellow station manager, Celeste Carey, last night. And I was like, I'm stressed out. She's like, don't worry, you know, that the staff is good. And I was like, no, I'm talking about what's happening outside the station. In a way, work is, you know, a way to stay busy. And it's a different kind of stress where it's like, the work stress of, oh, I'm so busy. But when I really stop and I think about what happens outside of my job, and it's stressful. I'm thinking about my parents. Both my parents are in their 70s. Mm-hmm. And I think about them every day. I've been calling them every day. And my dad is like, all the rice is out at all the Japanese grocery stores. Like, yeah, dad, you know, like maybe see if they do like Postmates delivery or something, so you're not like having to go, because he has some underlying health conditions. And so I worry about him every day, and I try not to like stress out too much about it, because like, what can I do? But yeah, trying to stay positive at the same time, trying to recognize and not just like suppress and deny the fact that like I have a lot of fear right now. I have a lot of stress over the unknown and the like inability to do anything. And yeah. How's the stress right. level going for you?
It's really hard. But when someone does something good, it means so much more now. It does so much more heavy lifting. So
yeah.
Hopefully we can recognize those few and far between and do a lot of work. I'm worried about my parents too, but on the upside, most ethnic people I know are natural hoarders, so they don't have to leave their homes for months. They already have all the stuff.
Well, you know what's funny in that thought is when I saw all the pictures of people like going to Costco and buying like the big 50-pound sacks of rice and stuff, it was so weird to see pictures of non-Asians doing that. I was just thinking, I was like, what are you doing with all that rice? Like, wow, look at everyone is buying the rice.
I wonder if they know how to cook it. I have a... you suddenly remind me of a memory. When I was growing up, my parents would only buy rice twice a year.
Yeah.
So when they did, we'd have to go and carry hundreds of pounds of rice to the garage.
Okay, well, on that fun memory, we're going to go back to some music, because I think we have Tabitha calling in, Tabitha, producer of Pacific Underground. So I just want to thank Albert Nguyen for calling in and letting us know where he's at these days.
Awesome. Thanks, Jenna. Stay safe.
All right, you too. We'll talk to you soon, Albert.
Bye-bye.
Leonard Cohen song there being played by Sheku Connie Mason. It's one I've been listening to a lot recently because cello music calms me down. I don't know what works for other people, but I'm a big fan of
of cello music that sounds calm, because my brain is like, these days. So I don't know where you're all at, but hey, if you're a cello fan, then there you go. And also, if you're a Pacific Underground fan, then maybe you're going to be a big woohoo, look who's on the show, because who is on the line with me right now? Tabitha Teo. Tabitha, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I was kind of sad I didn't hear the Sebastian Bach flute whatever.
Oh, no.
Song. Because I was expecting that when I was put on hold.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. Yeah. For everybody who's a fan of Pacific Underground, have a chuckle with us about that. Boop, ba boop, ba boop, ba boop. Wow, that played for a long time.
I mean, I could do my own version of the box flute.
And everyone shuts off their radio. So Tabitha, your life is also on lockdown. Like, so your job, you work for an after school program, and how? So when did you guys start working remotely?
I started working remotely this week. Also, I want to preface that I do have seasonal allergies. And even though I've taken an allergy pill, I do still occasionally cough. So if anyone hears me cough, it's just allergies. But also, I'm at home right now, and there's no one within my immediate vicinity. So
social distancing.
Yes, social distancing. So I started working remotely this week because I work at a public elementary school, and as I'm sure many people have heard, that at first it was like 2 weeks, spring break was starting early for 2 weeks, and now it's been extended to 6 weeks. So I'm going to be at home for 5 more weeks. Yay!
Yeah, I'm sure, is it one of those things where it feels cool? At first, you know, when people were like, I saw a bunch of articles that came out, you know, think pieces, op-eds, where people are like, this is not a snow day, especially like for kids, you know, who are just like, yay, we get off school, you know, but then after a while it's like, well, this isn't like a snow day. This isn't so fun. Like, how does one keep themselves amused? Oh, I know one thing I was going to ask you, because people don't know, Tabitha is a big sewing fan, and Tabitha, like, is really good at sewing. I was going to actually tag you in a post today about how local hospitals, and actually hospitals across the nation, are asking people to sew cloth face masks for hospitals.
Yeah, I have so much time. I've been going on Facebook more, which is a positive and a negative thing in certain times, because it's a good way of getting some information, because a lot of my friends were sharing here's a mask pattern, here are places that you can drop them off, and I just set my sewing machine up in my room last night. Like, great, I'm happy to do that. It's something I've been thinking about doing since this whole COVID-19 scare started. But I'm also really lazy, and I've also been working on another sewing project. But like, this is this is one way I could do some social good. So, but also, so many people have been sharing so many like scary stories about shelter in place, how a bunch of new cases. I was like,
I know.
This is
stressful. And like, Albert and I were just talking a little bit about like the fear of going out because of the way we look, and how, you know, Asians are being targeted right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about coughing, because like, I have seasonal allergies too. And one thing that Albert had said to me actually a few days ago was like, dude, you know, he's got the allergies. We all got allergies. And he's like, you know, what is so hard is that you want to go outside, but if you have allergies, you really don't want to cough as an Asian. Like, what do you do?
No. Like, since this whole thing started, I, like, thankfully have not experienced any racism yet, knock on wood. But whenever I'm out in public, I'm just, like, expecting it. It's like, fight.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, fight me.
I know.
Something. I dare you to say something.
Because, like, SARS, how many years ago was SARS? That was like, I don't know, like 2000.
More than 10 years ago.
More than 10 years ago. Yeah, but I remember like when SARS happened, I definitely got some stuff, which was like weird because like I was living in an Asian area, but then I also realized like, oh, that's actually,
well, it kind of happens everywhere, but I noticed that oftentimes when you're at least seeing the reports of where Asian people are being like harassed or attacked, yeah. it's in areas where there's a lot, there's a big Asian community.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. So and... everyone don't cough. Tabitha, don't cough. Just hold it in. So no one whenever looks at you.
Whenever I do go out in public, like I make sure I take an allergy pill and like, and the combination of the allergy pill, like, it is enough for me to like hold in my coughs when I'm out in public until I'm in like the privacy of my car, and then it just sounds like I have lung cancer or something because I'm just coughing.
Oh no! It's so ridiculous. Like why people? Why do we have to be discriminatory towards one another? I think it's interesting. I talked about Apano a little bit earlier, how they were doing, how currently they're doing the J District COVID Relief Fund. But one thing I saw on their social media recently was talking about the hate crimes that are happening against Asians right now. Aww. And they were saying that if people had experienced anything to like be reporting it and stuff like that. So there's different like places people can go to try to like keep track of it and stuff. But it you know, so I really appreciate that Apano, you know, is putting it out there and that people are speaking out against it. But I worry about as you know, economic situation gets worse for people and the health situation gets worse for people and people start to panic. I'm just like, okay, let's all try to, you know, show the love. I will say I've had some really terrible thoughts recently, like thoughts that I don't like about like, oh, I wish I didn't look so Asian. Like I've thought, because like, you know, both you and I actually have like really long, like black hair, you know, and I've thought to myself, like, okay, when I go out, can I like put it up into a hat? And then like wear sunglasses and like, cause I just like don't want to get harassed and whatever. And like people kind of like look at you and I'm just like, are you looking at me because we're social distancing? Or is it because like, you notice that I'm Asian?
Like it's like, that's whenever I'm out in public, like I'm like staring down people that I walk with. Like, I dare you to say something to me. I can whip my phone out. I can take a picture of you. I can take a video of you. It's like, I feel like my phone is my best weapon because I can like take a video of someone harassing me or being nasty to me. It's like, I will make you famous and not in the way that you want to be famous.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, be safe out there now before you just start filming everybody. What you doing? You're just walking around with a GoPro 24 hours a day. Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of reminds me of like a dash, like it's a dash cam on a camera where people are like, okay, here's what's going on. Okay, well.
And then a bunch of people will stare at me because I have a GoPro strapped to my face.
Like, what you looking at? And they go, like, it's not even like one of those where you attach it to your forehead or to your chest. It's just like straight, like over your nose, right in the middle of your face.
Yeah. Like, I dare you say something to me. I dare you.
And you have it over your face mask. Just talk about Asian. Okay, can we talk about one other Asian thing and like the face mask? I find it really interesting that like Americans have always been kind of weirded out by face masks. And like when you wear a face mask, they all like look at you like, oh my God, I think you have like the plague or something. And now it's going to become like a thing. I bet it will become like a thing because this is going to be so long lasting. And I'm just like, oh, and now the face masks are okay. I mean, I don't want to discourage it, you know, if it makes people feel safe. I'm just saying that, like, you know, people have made fun of me for like wearing the face mask, and now everyone's like, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tabs, we are running out of time, so we got to wrap it up. But do you have any last thoughts for our Pacific Underground fans?
I do try to focus on the positive, and one sort of thing I'm focusing on, like, I can get overwhelmed by the speed of modern life sometimes. Like, there's so many obligations, so many events, getting invited to so many things, and it's just kind of nice to that everything's just on pause right now, and so I can have a chance to like just chill, relax, be on my butt all day, and just to relax.
And then we're going to also always put it out there, right? Because we always got to smash down the privilege and such. If you're one of those people who don't have that privilege, you know, there's so many people who I bet wish they could be social distancing, but have those jobs that, you know, they need right now, especially, and are having to interact, you know, like the bus drivers, like the healthcare workers, and, you know, all the healthcare takers, you know, all that sort of stuff. That maybe they can't relax, but we wish them safety and health. Internally try to stay as calm as possible, because that will, I think, help us get through all of this. Okay, we got to get going, and I'm going to put back on The Missing You by Aisha Fukushima, because I think I'm missing everybody. I know I'm totally missing everybody, even when they're nearby. So, Tabitha,
if you want to throw a party when all this blows over, I want to throw a Corona party.
Okay, so in a year and a half, we'll have a Pacific Underground Corona party. Okay, we're totally out of time. Thank you so much, Tabitha Teo, and thank you so much, listeners, for tuning in. No problem. We really appreciate it. And we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you so much for tuning in, and here's some more Missing You.
This is just to say that I'm missing you today.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is noon, which means that it is time for our noon headlines. And here with our noon headlines, we have host of Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell, here on the line to give us those headlines. Teresa, you there?
I'm here. This is the KBOO News at Noon and Pandemic Update. 265,495 people have contracted COVID-19 around the globe, and 11,147 people have died from the disease as of noon today. 88 are confirmed to have the disease in Oregon, where 3 people have died. Washington reports 1,377